Now we read together in Hebrews and chapter 12. And there is a passage we're going to focus in on, especially verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men, and especially this, make every effort to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And there's the three things we'll be looking at. What is holiness? What is seeing the Lord? And pursuing holiness. Okay. So, where are you in your relationship with God tonight? Where am I in my relationship with God tonight? Sometimes we analyze our lives and realize we're at a bit of a standstill. That can happen in any relationship. It can happen in your relationship with, in fact, it almost inevitably happens in your relationship with your husband or your wife, probably with your children too. You reach a point and you found your, not necessarily sweet spot, but you found your spot where you know how it works. And you know how much of yourself to show and how much to hide. And you know the same from the other person. You'll get so much, but you won't get any more. And as a result, you reach an impasse. You reach a place that may be beautifully intimate, or it may be coldly distant. But you reach that place. You reach it in all your relationships if you spend long enough with people. And you reach it with God. Unless you decide that you don't want to reach it with God and you want to keep moving forward. There are a couple of untruths that people have when it comes to our relationship with God. One of them, I think, goes something like this. It says that some people are called to be more holy than other people. Now, that's a myth. It's a complete myth, because once we're in the presence of the Lord, in His glory, we'll all be equally holy. But it's a myth in this world as well. But what we do, and we're tricksy little creatures, is that we say to ourselves, well, oh, you know, she's just so holy. What a saint. We say things like that. And we sort of think, well, I'm just not like that. And we excuse ourselves from trying to be like that. What came to mind thinking about this was Martin Luther. Martin Luther apparently had a saying, you know, I've got so much to do today that I'll need to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And we think, oh, Martin Luther, I'm not like that. Oh, it's great for Martin Luther. I'm so pleased for him that he was so holy, such a great man of God. But I'm not like that. And so we think that it's not for us, and we excuse ourselves. As though Martin Luther somehow got to be a man who spent 3 hours in prayer magically, just without actually having first pursued God for many years. So we mustn't think to ourselves tonight as we say, okay, Roddy's preaching about holiness tonight, and that's for him or for her, and I'm sort of stuck where I am, and I can't expect to be any more close to God than I am. I've kind of reached my level. No, you have not reached your level. If you have reached your level, then you're not going to heaven, that's for sure. Because if you reach your level, then you're still a sinner, and you're still unholy, and you're still far, far, far from what you're going to need to be to live in the presence of God. So you haven't reached your level, and you shouldn't excuse yourself by saying, well, you know, holiness is for other people. It's for that great saint sitting over there. Another myth is that God lets some people get closer to him than others. God lets some people get closer to him than others. Now that, you should probably think immediately, has got to be wrong. Because God is ultimately wanting to have the great multitude that no one can number with him. All in his presence. All in his glory. So it's not like he is saying, well, you know, I'm going to bring a few of these folk a bit closer to me than others, and I'm not going to let them get so close to me. We mustn't think that, because it's just wrong. God gave his son for you so that you could be reconciled to him. And so you can get as close to God as you want to be and as your holiness allows. And your holiness is up to you. You can be as close to God as you truly devote yourself to be. But if you choose to be only so close and to allow a whole range of sins to continue to wash through your lives, then you'll grieve his Holy Spirit, and he will stand at a loving distance from you, waiting for you to want to deal with those sins so that you can have him closer. So there's two myths and that we must dismiss straight away. We can all be as close to God as the closest person has ever been to God in this world, but we need to seek him for that. Now, what is holiness? What are we talking about? Without it, no one's going to see the Lord, and we're to pursue it, to make every effort to live with at peace and to be holy. What is holiness? Well, holiness is it's something that God himself possesses and demonstrates. In verse 10, God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. So holiness is something that we have to get close to God to have, because it's something that he has. Holiness is first of all something that's in God. Now, it's a positive thing. I think often people think holiness is that you don't get to do anything nice and sinful that you want to do, and it's all about do's and don'ts. The devil, I'm sure, had a great part in getting the church to think that way. Because we sang a little while ago about the beauty of holiness. Holiness is the beauty of God. You know, if you know beauty, then you will know that the most beautiful reality of all is God's presence and God himself. Holiness is the beauty of God. Holiness is the beauty of the nature and the character and the glory of God. Holiness is God's love. God's love is a holy, beautiful love. Holiness is for us, it's for us loving God. For us, it's loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourselves, and loving one another in the church as Christ loved us. That's holiness. It's not about rules. Somehow that idea still lingers in the dark passages of the human brain, that holiness is a kind of Presbyterian black colour. Let me just say, first of all, Presbyterian should be a beautiful word. Presbyterian means that the elders bring the apostolic care and shepherding and truth and love to the church. That's Presbyterianism. Black, nothing wrong with black, but holiness is not a drab thing. Holiness is God in his beauty. Holiness is God in his attractiveness. If you've ever stood and seen a truly beautiful created scene, you know, part of the glory of this world, something about the sea or the mountains or the colour of the sky or the richness of a wildflower meadow, whatever you've seen, and you've thought, that is beautiful. Well, remember, God made it. He's the artist. Holiness is His beauty, which is higher than the beauty even of His creation. It's a beautiful thing. Holiness is the beauty of God. What is seeing the Lord? What does that mean? Well, this is an interesting one in the Bible, because sometimes in the Bible it says people see God, and other times in the Bible it says no one will ever see God. So, for example, Paul in 1 Timothy 6, he says, God is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. So how are we going to see the Lord? Sometimes in the Bible, you know, Moses is said to speak to the Lord face to face. So what's going on there? Well, God is very merciful. God is very kind to us, and He doesn't overwhelm us. So He gives us a measure that we can cope with. You know that your senses can be overcome. If Margaret were to turn up the sound on the sound system, yeah, you'd be blocking your ears, because your hearing can be overcome very quickly. You know, we can see lights that are too bright. We can have heat that's too hot and that burns us. Or cold that's too cold. We can have a smell that's too pungent. Whatever it is, our little senses, our little brains can very easily be absolutely overwhelmed by very simple things. They can certainly be overwhelmed by God. And you see that often in the Bible. You see people whom God gives a little bit more of a vision to, and it's too much for them. And when Daniel sees even, not God himself, even an angel sent from God, you know, he says, I saw it for 7 days, overwhelmed. I fell at his feet as though dead, John says. So, God just gives a little measure, enough for our capacity. And you probably heard of stories of people in revival times, and they have so much of the glory of God that they're praying, Lord, please no more, because it's too much for them. And God's just giving a little tiny little measure of himself. So they're seeing God, but just a little, just as much as they can cope with. And when we get more capacity, we can see more. And when we are changed to be like Jesus in the kingdom to come, in the age to come, we'll have more capacity for the glory of God. But we'll never see the essence of the glory. That's what Paul says. So we see him, but only as much as we can cope with. Not seeing God. When we're perfectly holy and in our resurrection bodies, then we can see more. But God is so big that he would overwhelm the senses of men and angels, even in glory and perfection, if he didn't just give a measure of himself to us and to his creation. So yes, seeing God is getting as close as our senses and our brains can cope with at the present time. And this is what we're to do. We're to pursue this. We are to pursue a vision of the beauty of God. That's what Christians are to do. We're to pursue a vision of the beauty of God. And, you know, the verse makes it clear. How many of us is going to see the Lord if we're not holy? How many of us here will see the Lord if we're not holy? And the answer is we won't. We won't see the Lord if we're not holy. And if you and I are not seeing the Lord just now, the only reason is because we're not holy. That's it. That is all. So there is something that you must have so that you can see God. And if you don't have it, you won't see God. And that thing is holiness. And we're to pursue it. So, how are we going to pursue holiness? How are we going to do it? Well, maybe here's a clue in the first part of the verse, because the make every effort there covers living in peace with all men, first of all. And that's probably very helpful for us. The word is actually the word for pursuing. It's like you're running after something, you're chasing after something. Chase after living in peace with all men, and chase after holiness. So, first of all, if we want to live at peace with people, sometimes we really need to chase it. It's not quite the same because other people may be at fault in our relationship we have with them. And sometimes we can only go so far, even if we would give them everything, they wouldn't give us everything. And sometimes relationships flounder because of that, and founder because of that. But, sometimes we are the ones that have to work at the relationship. Sometimes we are the ones that need to say, well, what did I do wrong there? Why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep reacting like that? What is it that stops me from being able to be honest with my partner, my friend? What is it that keeps me back from giving myself to them? And sometimes we are the ones that need to work at that. We need to pursue it in order to live at peace with people. And if we're going to pursue it, that means we have to put out of our lives the things that make us difficult for other people. We always say, oh, he's a difficult person. Well, maybe we're the difficult person, and what is difficult about us needs to be put out of the way by us, so that we cannot be a difficult person, and so that people find it easier to get on with us. And then we can live at peace with them. So sometimes we have to put what is difficult about us out of the way. It's we who have the problem. And we have to pursue our relationship with other people first, and not pursue other things first. Because if we pursue other things first, perhaps those other things will get in the way of our relationship with other people. And so it is that we have to be with God. Difference is that God is pursuing us. And God has absolutely nothing in him that needs to change for us to have a great relationship with him forever. He doesn't need to change at all. We're the ones who need to change. And so we're the ones who need to respond to his pursuing by not running away from God, and running instead to pursue other things. What are you pursuing tonight? What is on your heart tonight that may be something that you're pursuing at the expense of your relationship with God, and that you're putting before your relationship with God? God knows tonight where he lies on your list of priorities. And he knows if he's down the list. And he knows if actually there are other things you pursue first that maybe are actually in the way of your fellowship with him. And obviously, should be obvious to us, obviously we've got to stop pursuing the other things first, and we've got to pursue him first if we're going to enjoy holiness and his beauty and a relationship of peace with him. So there's an analogy between us and relationships that we have on a human level and a relationship that we have with God. We've got to pursue him, but he doesn't have to change. He's pursuing us. But there's nothing about him that's wrong. There's nothing he's done. There's nothing he's said. There's nothing about his character. Nothing at all. It's all beauty. It's all good. It's what's in our heads and in our hearts that is the problem. And we've got to pursue him first and foremost. Sometimes we pursue other things and we find that that takes us to places that God just cannot go with us. Places of guilt. Places of sin. And if we're in those places, you know, God lovingly has to wait outside for us. So long as we stay in those places, He'll be waiting outside. And let's hope we don't die in those places. But let's hope we realize that we're in those places. And the reason why we're not close to God is because we're unholy in those places. Because we're pursuing things at the expense of our relationship with God that are taking us to places God cannot follow us into in His Holy Spirit. So, the writer here illustrates the kind of things I'm talking about, or the writer himself's talking about here. So from verse 15, for example, you know, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Now here's one that many's a Christian and many's a church founders on. Bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is where you've got someone, you know, you resent what they've done. Maybe they've done terrible wrong. I'm not denying that. They may have abused you. But your bitterness towards them will cost you intimacy with God. You will miss the grace of God, as the verse says. Your desire to see someone else judged will cost you, because it will take you to a place that God Himself is not to be found, because God is not bitter and God is not judgmental. God is not longing to judge people. He is longing to be close to people. He's longing to forgive people. And He'll only judge us when we leave Him nothing else to do, because we've rejected Him. So bitterness, look at your heart here. Are you bitter? Is there someone in your thoughts just now that you are holding on to, waiting for something to happen to them, because you want your justice and you want them to change and them to come to you and acknowledge the wrong that they have done to you, because you feel that they have done you wrong. They may have done, but your bitterness, your unforgiveness is destroying your relationship with God. Because God isn't bitter. God isn't unforgiving. Here's another one. In the next one, in verse 16. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Well, again, this is about, you know, can you see God? Well, you can't see God if you're sexually immoral. You can't. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, your holiness, that you would abstain from porn, is the Greek word. You'd abstain from porn. Whatever that means, whatever fleshly lust you follow, like Esau. So we have to know that we live in a society today that where it has never ever been anything like as easy to to be sexually immoral, as it is today. And once you get hold, it gets hold of you, it's an addiction. You're pursuing that which God can't join you in. And if you wonder why your relationship with God is struggling, then you don't have to look very far. And you have to be absolutely and utterly ruthless on this issue. Godless gain, I suppose you could move on to Esau in this as well. Godless gain, Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Esau puts food over his father's blessing. So any appetite at all that we have, any craving that we have, any coveting that we have, that puts God next on the list to getting what we want, that thing we crave, will preclude us from receiving and exclude us from receiving our father's blessing. Like Esau. You know, we need to watch the things we desire. Watch the things we pursue. Some of you may be sitting thinking, you know, why is Roddy talking about this? This is not me. Well, if it isn't you, that's great. Are you close to God? Well, if you're thinking then, well, not as close as I could be. Well, okay, there's a sin somewhere. There's a sin in your life somewhere. Now you can be, you know, very respectable in the community and in the church. You can be a minister in the church. But desiring other things before God. And so you reach that impasse, that level of relationship with God. And it's not going any further until you deal with that sin. Until you deal with that thing that you desire more than you desire the presence of God. Because once you learn that thing that you desire more than you desire the presence of God takes you out of the presence of God, and yet you still desire it. In other words, you're faced with that point where, here's the temptation. I've got a sense of God's presence just now, but I know that if I follow this temptation, then God will not be so close to me. I'll not be so close to Him. So what do I do? Well, you know what to do. Never at any time should you ever think anything other than, I'll go for God's presence. I'll pursue God's presence. I love God's presence. God's presence is beautiful. The thing I'm desiring instead of God's presence is ugly. It's filthy. It's destructive. Because it's denying me my inheritance. So we need to pursue holiness. And without it, no one will see the Lord. What happens when our fellowship with God becomes the top of our list? When it gets to the top of your list, what happens? Well, here's one. Let's think about Peter in this. Think about Peter. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Okay, so that's basically saying God has given you and me absolutely everything we need to be as holy as God Himself. That's what it's saying. So God has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, His glory and goodness, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in what? Do you know what it says? So that through these great and precious promises you may participate in the divine nature. That's what it says. It's breathtaking. What? Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's all there again, just what we've been saying. So the evil desires have meant I can't participate in the divine nature. But if I escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, I participate in the divine nature, because the great and precious promises of God tell me that's what I'll do. What does that mean? Well, when we talk about participating in the divine nature, the word participate there, it's the regular word for fellowship. Fellowship. So it's fellowshipping with God. But it's such a fellowship with God that it is something that Peter can speak of as fellowshipping in the divine nature. That's amazing to think of how close Peter speaks about it being possible, even in this world, before we die, before we go into the glory of God's presence, how close it is possible for us to be to God. When fellowship with God gets to the top of your list, you participate in the divine nature. You fellowship in the divine nature by the indwelling Spirit of God. Now, it's hard to get kick-started into that. I mean, you know, as Christians, when we find ourselves just at a particular level for a long time, it's hard to think, well, how do I get further? How can I get moving? Well, sometimes God gives us opportunities. And for Peter, the great opportunity of his life to really embrace holiness and enjoy the beauty of God and see God was on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, you see Peter absolutely transformed from the man who has, you know, 50 or so days earlier denied knowing Jesus with curses and swearing 3 times to the man who preaches that great message about Jesus being exalted to the right hand of the Father and feeling he has a right to be there and do that. Why? Because he is full of the divine nature. He's full of the Holy Spirit. God has given him this chance to really be holy, really be close to God, and really enjoy the beauty of God in his own soul. And he's loving it. And it's made all the past disappear. All his sins, all his denials, everything bad about him, all that made him say once to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man," is gone. He's in a completely fresh beginning with God in holiness. He's loving it. Now, for Peter and for everyone else here, there always comes a point when you have an experience with God, whether it's your conversion, whether it's a blessing that you receive at any point along the way. It might be through listening to the Word of God preached. It might be through your own personal Bible study. It might be through a time of prayer or a time of fellowship with others. Whatever it is, God gives you a lift up to a holier place of beauty. And there comes that point, maybe it's later that evening or the next day or maybe it's a month later, and you've been enjoying the holiness of God. You've been enjoying that beauty. And then there comes a point and there's a desire there in your heart. And it's not the desire for the fellowship of God. It's a desire for something else. And it might be the desire for revenge, bitterness. It might be the desire for porn. It might be the desire for something that you covet at that moment that would make life better for you at that moment, like Esau. And you've got to choose. Because if you choose the wrong desire there, then that month you've just had with the Lord is gone. So when God gives you these starts up to a higher place, stay there. Keep desiring. Keep desiring that holiness. Keep desiring that beauty of the Lord. Remember, that's what's promised to you. Christians are promised the divine nature, fellowship. Fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized. There's them desiring holiness. If they desire holiness, they're going to repent and be baptized. And the Holy Spirit is given to them. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter says. This promise is for you. There's the great and precious promise. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call, that's us, far off, but now near to God. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of fellowship in the divine nature. So, that's your promise, that's your birthright, that's what you can have from your Father. So whenever you get any kind of help to get towards that, stay there. Keep desiring more. Keep seeking more. Don't let the little desires that begin to grow in your mind and heart, those roots of bitterness that grow and defile, don't let them grow. I don't want that. You know, to your friends in your head saying, you can go there if you want, but I'm not joining you. You know, people in your family, the people around you, the people on the television, yeah, I'm switching you off. I'm not going there with you. What do you desire tonight? Do you desire holiness? The beauty of fellowship with the living God? And is that being denied you because there are other things you desire more than holiness? You could be a mature Christian here tonight and be in that position tonight. Are there other things you desire more than holiness? And you're stuck wondering why you're not going on. It's not because God has said you're not going to get as holy as that person over there. It's not that. It's not because God has ordained that some people will get more holy than others. It's not that. The problem is you. The problem is what you desire. That you're pursuing things, but they're not holiness. They're not beauty. They're not the fragrance of God. They're not the love and the light of God. They're not the joy of His fellowship. Pursue them. And don't let anything else get in the way. Repent. That's how they got the Holy Spirit. That's how they began to enjoy the beauty of the Lord. And then every one of those 3,000 on the day of Pentecost came to that day when there was another desire that was more than the desire of God. And they had to stop going down that road of desiring the other thing. If they were going to stay in the freshness and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And if they then realized, I've gone the wrong way, I've desired the wrong thing again, the way back in is repentance again. And again. And again. Come back to Martin Luther. He said, I was born for nothing but repentance. And again. And again, because there's nothing I want more than the presence of God. Nothing at all. So every time I've desired other things, I'm going to repent of that. But I want to get to the place where I don't need to repent because I haven't desired the other things. Where I desire holiness at the top of my list, every day, all of the time. And even the slightest little thought that comes into my head that is unholy, I'm not having anything to do with that because I want the Lord and His beauty. Amen. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we ask then that you'll help us tonight to desire the beauty of holiness and to reject the ugliness of unholiness. Lord, we confess our world is in an unholy mess. And Lord, often our own souls are in an unholy mess. Please help us always to repent of that, always to desire you above all other things, never to let any other desires come in that are going to get in the way of our desire for holiness, for the beauty of your fellowship. Come to us, Lord, we pray. Lift us up and help us by the power of your Spirit to keep desiring to be up there with you and to get higher and to get higher and to get higher. Because you, Lord, are beautiful. And Lord, there is nothing like you. We want to say that, as the Psalm said, whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And on the earth, whom I desire besides thee, there is none.